TheTea.com.
The Navy says it's going to put women on subs in 2011. My, it's not your father's military anymore. We'll talk about it. Also, over the weekend, Paranormal Activity 2 was number one at the box office. Of course, it's so close to Halloween. People like to have the snot scared out of them. Can you believe the weekend is history? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we roll here. Coast to coast and all those spots in between. I don't care about your stripes, left, right, or somewhere in between. You can always throw in your 2 cents. And I'm going to give you the number right at the top. 800-259-5791. Let's repeat it. 800-259-5791. Also, huge, huge over the weekend. Game 6, really heading into the weekend. The Texas Rangers, who have never been in a World Series in their 50-year history, decided they would slay the New York Yankees. The Yankees go down. The Rangers are in. Sadly, on the other side of things, in the National League, my Philadelphia Phillies could not pull it out against the San Francisco Giants, even in front of the city of brotherly love. They lose a tight ball game, 3-2 in the end on Saturday, and the stage is set now. It is the Texas Rangers and the San Francisco Giants. I love baseball, and this World Series, I think, should be a humdinger. I mean, seriously, I used to cover the Rangers, and the people are pumped all over Texas, not just in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My pal Mike Young covers the Rangers, and he joins us now here right from the get-go. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Kate, you should have been there for Game 6. You and I have been in that ballpark so many times before. The energy was nothing like I've ever heard before at a Dallas Cowboy game. It was phenomenal. I've never felt anything like that. So, you talk about a bunch of star people wanting even just a piece of playoff baseball. Now they're going to the World Series. The place is nuts here right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And the post-game show went on and on and on. And what I thought was interesting was that all of the players kept talking about the fans, and Josh Hamilton, who was the MVP, wanted to only give, you know, a lot of the credit to the teammates. And I think it says something about this team. You cover them, so you know. Is it a team that's sort of one-for-all kind of mentality?
Absolutely. Ron Washington has been the architect of that. He never let this group get too high, never let them get too low. They were always on an even keel, no matter what the situation was in the season. They had a 5-6-7 game winning streak. Okay, fine. They never really banked on that. They lost the equal amount, 5, 6, or 7, same thing. You can really put that square on Ron Washington for keeping this team well focused, especially when you think about all the misery they had being bankrupt at the All-Star break. How do you like that? Going bankrupt at the break, and now you're in the World Series.
Yeah, what's interesting is Tom Hicks was one of the owners who bungled the Rangers past, and then the great Nolan Ryan, the Hall of Famer, the guy who's had 7 no-hitters, who just is all about Texas. Now he's the man in charge, and you can just tell he is eating this up, isn't he?
Oh, everybody is here from Nolan, who had to be part of those raw years in the 90s when he finished his career with the Rangers. So, yeah, he's eating it up. The people who have been with the Rangers for many, many years in the front office, they're just loving this. And all the fans who have really had to stay quiet. Whenever the Cowboys started training camp, then here we go with the Rangers. No matter how well they're playing, they go down the drain. Cowboys rise up. Can you believe this? This is a complete role reversal now. Now it's the Cowboys going down the tubes, and the Rangers are going to the top.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think? I mean, Cliff Lee, the guy's an amazing pitcher, and he's been such a difference maker for them, there's no doubt. So he's one of the keys. But what would you say from watching this team, Mike, for all the people listening in other places who are going to tune in and watch the World Series that kind of know the Rangers but don't know a lot about them, what should they look for? What do you think needs to happen for the Rangers to beat the Giants?
They need to create runs. That's the one thing. This is not your grandpa's team to where they could slug 3, 4, 5 home runs and maybe pull out a win with some mediocre pitching. It's completely different now. The focus is on pitching and catching. That's really it. If you can pitch, you can catch. You're going to win ball games because you're going to have enough offense to go on. But look for the Rangers to take the extra base. Look for the stolen base. Look for the sacrifice hit, the sacrifice fly. whatever it may take, then that's likely what they'll do. And especially, too, you'll see Elvis Andrus at the top of the lineup. He hasn't played much lately, but being out in San Francisco, who knows, you might see Julio Borbón at times as a pinch runner or maybe at the bottom of the lineup if Ron Washington decides to go in that direction. But this is completely an execution-based team. You execute, you win, and that's what the Rangers have been doing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in watching this. You were talking about how the ballpark just vibrated and how long it's been and all the things that have, you know, the payroll disadvantages, the things that they have had to endure, the bankruptcy, all of that sort of stuff. And in watching this team, you know, there's always in matchups, you know this from covering sports for so long, somebody gets dubbed the underdog. I think, and I like, frankly, the underdog. And so, and a lot of people in America adopt underdogs when their team isn't there. Do you think the Rangers or the Giants will be the underdogs in this one?
I think they're both underdogs when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, because and this is going to be a great series. I agree with you on that one. Because the Giants, by the way, Benji Molina's in a great situation. He gets a ring out of this no matter what happens. Since he was with the Giants, now he's with the Rangers. He's going to get a World Series championship ring somehow.
I love that.
But anyway, yeah, but back to that, too. Both of these teams have a lot of underdog to them. The pitching has been very good on both sides. The Giants also create runs. They also create, you know, steal, sacrifice flies, et cetera. So, yeah, you think about all that, and these teams pretty much mirror each other. I like the Rangers in this series, and I've already called it Rangers in six, and the reason I do is just because they have appeared to have executed their plays better than any other team I've seen in baseball this year, even your beloved Phillies.
Oh, I know, the Phillies. You know, the Phillies, Charlie Manuel said it best, I think, that the Phillies, if people were really paying attention, though, weren't hitting pretty much halfway through 09 and then part of this season. And then in the situations where your big guys needed to come through, they absolutely didn't do it. We mentioned Josh Hamilton. He's a big guy for the Rangers, obviously. He's healthy. That's the good news. And you saw how really the Giants in the end walked Hamilton for fear of what he could do with his bat. How much does he mean to this team? Is he the glue for this team?
I would say he's maybe the glue, maybe he's the leader, although there's several guys who really take that mantle. I think just Josh's spirit, Josh's will to win, Josh's will to do whatever it takes to win has really infected this ball club quite a bit. He's wearing a flak jacket because of the ribs. He'll wear it for the rest of the season. Heck, he might even wear it next year, too, for that matter. He's been talking about it. But you think about all the things that he has entailed, whether it's taking the extra base, diving after a ball, playing solid defense, making a throw, hitting the cutoff man. I think that has really rubbed off on a lot of Ranger players. And some of the veterans who already knew that before now just have that reaffirmed within them that this is what it takes to win. I mean, you don't have to have 30, 35, 40 home runs to, you know, have a winning ball club. I mean, you know, Josh had 32, 33, something of that nature. But it's something when you can play the entire game, the overall game. And as Ron Washington says quite a bit, we play the game with what's in front of us, what we see out there, and we play it to that advantage that we currently have in front of our faces.
Yeah, boy, incredible stuff. Mike, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight and giving us some insight. We appreciate it, and have fun with that series.
No charge. Take care, princess.
All right. Thank you. Giants, 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 Giants and the Rangers. How about that? You know, Josh Hamilton hit 350 when they were pitching to him against the Yankees. He has a monster bat. We're talking some football next with Ed Berliner. Hang with us.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Hi, this is Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources Precious Metals Brokers, and my phone number is 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then perhaps it's time for a change. You have the opportunity to make a change in November by voting, and the opportunity to make a change in your financial security today by calling me, Dwayne Daly. Get the stability and peace of mind that you deserve with gold and silver, a form of wealth protection for 5,000 years. As the inflation pinch becomes tighter and the dollar continues to devalue, while stocks remain iffy at best, stop the bleeding with precious metals. Metals will let you retain your purchasing power, protect your assets, and stop inflation the day you get in. I have many different ways to accomplish this, from metals for possession to IRA rollovers, tax-free, and everything in between. So if you would like to turn your scrambled nest egg into a souffle, call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115. 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are ready for a change, please call Dwayne Daly.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. Purifiers are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. GCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
That conversation with NFL football about what happened in the week with Ed Berliner in another couple of minutes, another 20 minutes or so. But before we get to that, a couple of other things, including what happened at the Mexican border with a big shooting there. Shocker, huh? Shooting. People dead at the Mexican border. I know you're surprised. Anyway, we'll get to the latest row there. But before we do that, some problems in Italy and the sounds of what's happening in Italy over a landfill has turned into a nightmare. Take a listen to what it sounded like with the screams and I think some of the other things, the sirens that you can catch in the background. Yeah, and to flush it out a little bit more for you, the Italian government is saying that they're not going to continue the construction of this landfill near Naples. It's pretty controversial, but even in saying that, that was not enough for the people who decided, you know, we don't believe you. We're going to go out and protest on Saturday night. So the cops get called. You can hear pretty much the sounds of that in the background. And what the deal is they weren't just protesting the people in Naples. They weren't protesting the building of the just this landfill, but the what they saw as the conditions of an existing landfill that they say is going to kill them. That's a health hazard and an environmental disaster. So they wanted the government to do something about the situation, that they're, that it was too dangerous for the children and for other people that were there. So because of all of the news and all of the stories that have been done and all of, I think, the people in Naples aware of what's going on, they're concerned about the hazards from this current landfill and then the possibility of the second one. And so then once the government said, no, we're not going to do this, you still had maybe 1,000 people that were protesting, or so they were actually blocking the roads that led up to the landfill. And the people who actually got into it with the police, it was probably maybe a dozen or so of that entire group. Just goes to show you, you never know what's around the corner. And speaking of not knowing what's around the corner, Hamid Karzai has been talking lately about bin Laden and what's happening with the Taliban and what's happening with corruption in his own government. And it's interesting because he's done a couple of, maybe a couple of weeks ago it was, he did an interview on Larry King and he was talking about rumors there as the fact that he might be a manic depressive. I'll tell you the one thing he hasn't, to me, addressed head on, though, is what's this really, truly, honestly, what is the deal with his family and his brother? How we have these ties to this government where Karzai is in for another 6 years is just beyond me, because I can't imagine that under Karzai's reign, incredible things are going to take place. I mean, you can already see how much he's dropped the ball in the years leading up to this previous election. And let's face it, I mean, look, they're riddled with corruption there. That's what it is. It's what hand is in what pocket. And they never can seem to get rid of that shroud of doubt. The Taliban seems to get stronger, even if the numbers are smaller, seems to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that scares me, because the end date in Afghanistan, there is no end date. So after, what, 20 years, we're just going to suddenly slurk away? Is it going to be 15 years? How many years do we go through the paces and deploy this voluntary military until enough is enough, until we just simply flat out have to call, not truce, but have to throw up our hands and say, you know, we're out of this and we're going to keep some people behind? To me, that's the scariest thing, is this elusive nature of this war. There's no, we're throwing a bomb and we're turning this whole area into glass if you don't stop and put down your weapons and do whatever, and trying to go in the hills and try to flush people out. And frankly, how our military has to deal with the rules of engagement, it's just outrageous. Speaking of outrageous, the death toll from a shooting at a house party was 14 in the last count. And this was the Chihuahua State Attorney General, Carlos Manuel Salas, saying that 14 people were injured when somebody attacked a bunch of young people at a house, just came in and started to open fire. The people that were killed were between the ages of 14 and 30. Some of the kids were as young as 7 and 11 that were injured, and apparently from all kinds of backgrounds. Not far from a home where a cartel member stormed a house party back in January, killing about 15 people, and most of the people that were shot were young and had no ties to organized crime. So this is just a random shooting, probably as a warning is what they think. But that's 30. That's more than 30, really. And then you throw in the injuries. Man, I'd say that Mexico's in more trouble than you can imagine. So the Human Rights Commission is sending a team into the neighborhood. Boy, that's going to really help those bereaved parents, isn't it? Yeah, call me sarcastic. I'm just saying, sorry that once again this happened right here in your own backyard. We thought we were taking the necessary precautions to do what had to be done, but unfortunately, you know what, in the end, it wasn't enough. All right, the big story and the story that we're going to be talking about a lot, obviously, this entire week and heading into next week is the midterm elections. The midterm elections are important, so important this time around, because there's a chance that a lot of the incumbents who haven't done, I think even over the course of so many years, a lot of what they've promised to do may find themselves without a job. But when I say incumbents, that could mean some Republican incumbents too. So there's this anti-incumbent wave that has pushed the Republicans to the forefront, but will it push them to ultimately the majorities in the House and the Senate, or do the Democrats keep pressing on in these rallies to get the vote out and get more Democrats to vote? I mean, this midterm election comes down to 8 days. 8 days with this vote counting going on, basically 9 days if you want to count the vote stuff. So the two parties now are pulling off, I think, all the gloves that they have and pulling out all the stops at this point. Michael Steele, the Republican National Committee chairman, pretty confident that that GOP wave will stand and they're going to win control of both chambers and even the state legislatures in a condemnation, if you will, of the president and the Democratic policies. If that does happen, I think that the biggest blow to the Democrats was probably health care and the economy. I mean, one and two, or put it either way you want to put it, in whatever order, but the voters are just so tired that they feel like they have not been listened to. I think that's true. And the bank's too big to fail was the real poke in the eye. So on the heels of that happening, the economic collapse, the health care law that has people still wondering what's going to happen to their coverage, how much is it going to go up when it's all said and done, and ultimately the certain years kick in, and that scares people to death, I think. And then taxes. Ultimately, what are your taxes going to go up to? All right, stay with us. Coming up next, some interesting things as we are kicking the can down the road here on ATN.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And cross food off your to-do list.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Here in odds and ends. Boy, could it get any worse in Haiti after that miserable earthquake in, let's face it, a third world country? Now they're saying that aid workers are just scrambling to keep a cholera outbreak from really exploding even worse. It's that squalor that they find in the camps in Port-au-Prince where you have 1.3 million or so survivors living on top of each other. 250 people, rather, are dead, and 3,000 more are sick. 5 cholera patients have been reported in the capital so far, but most of them have gotten it outside Port-au-Prince, so this is a deadly area, and cholera can spread so easily. I mean, deadly doesn't even do it justice. It's worse than deadly. So the only thing you can do is limit patients' movement, and then you have to dispose of bodies very, very carefully because hundreds of thousands of people, almost everyone, could be in danger of getting it. 1.3 million if it reaches the camps. So what do you do to stamp out cholera? It's soap and water and purification, water purification tablets, and educating the people about the importance of washing their hands. But then you think of what these people have been going through in Haiti, and boy, I hope they don't, that doesn't really truly reach the heart of that camp, because it'd be the saddest thing to see, the terrible photographs that would come out of that. I mean, already it kills you when you look at it, but the way the earth turns so rapidly and Mother Nature ripping apart the earth and some of the other horrendous things that have happened, you know, people in the United States gave a big chunk of money to Haiti. Then it's on to the next thing. Then Chile needs our help or someplace else. That's the way things turn on a dime like that so quickly. So, yes, there are people that are helping and are trying to make the world realize that Haiti hasn't gone away. Let's hope that they have enough of the supplies, the water they need, which that's tough, and the soap and all that other stuff, so that they can try to knock it out as the best they can, although pretty tough. All right, WikiLeaks. Last week I talked to a good source at the Pentagon who told me that there is no doubt they do feel the heat of WikiLeaks. And, of course, because they had to hire special people to go through. I mean, when I say hire special people, they had to rearrange people at the Pentagon to pour through all the documents. And now, you know, how much has been released? There's 15,000 more to come. Already published is like 77,000. Then there was altogether 400,000 about the Iraq war, but now these others were held back because what they're doing is they're, at least WikiLeaks is smart enough now to vet through everything and make sure they don't have names, you know, concealing the names of these innocent people, because why do you want to have the sources have to wear a flak jacket and probably be beheaded in some village somewhere when the Taliban finds out who they are? So, I mean, this is no doubt the biggest leak of security information in our history when you look at the amount of pages of this, if nothing else. And what the pages show, or what WikiLeaks is saying, is that it suggests that there's far more Iraqis died than was really acknowledged during the years of criminal violence and the stuff that happened back in 2003 going forward with our invasion. That the civilian deaths are really nearly 400,000, and the war logs show it. Now, before that, the number was less than almost 500,000. And these war logs were made public in defiance, certainly, of the Pentagon's insistence that the action puts the lives of the troops and their military partners at risk. Now, see, here's the other twist in this. It's the authentication process. Okay, so there's all these supposed war logs and the dates and times of deaths and all that sort of stuff, but they have to make sure they're authenticated because, what, you know, where are the originals? And WikiLeaks isn't really saying much about that. They're trying to not tell any information about the information that was released. So the Pentagon is not confirming of the authenticity of the stuff that's been released. But the number of people that are poring over the documents, they have to be concerned because, like I said, my pal told me over 100 analysts are reviewing the material that to make sure what's in there, what's accurate, what's not accurate, all that sort of stuff. And the U.S. figures of Iraqis who have been killed, that is what really is the Iraq body count, rather, is what really is sticking in their craw. Because the new documents are showing that there's all these unreported deaths that would raise the total of civilian deaths much higher than was originally thought to be. And so what kind of deaths were they that were missing? Were they drive-by shootings? Were they torture? Were they executions? Were they checkpoint killings? All that sort of stuff. I mean, what was it? The Iraqi government had a tally of 85,694 deaths, and security officials, they said, killed between 2004 and 2008. So it's the body count that's really, I think, of concern to the Pentagon and probably the most damaging. Because now what are these 400,000 documents that are out there? What are they going to show? And does it really damage, does this show patterns or is there things to exploit? You know, that's what the Pentagon is saying. Jeff Morrell said the release of the Iraqi war material by WikiLeaks, it could potentially undermine our security, saying that the thing is there's a way to wage attacks against us, and this is what you'll see in between the lines if you read in between the lines, which makes us more curious and want to know what those war logs were. I suppose you wait long enough and they're all going to be out there. And WikiLeaks, I mean, this is the deal. If there's allegations of torture and brutality and, you know, by the Shiite security forces, because they mostly were dominated by Shiite, mostly against the Sunni prisoners, well, there you go. I mean, that tells you something when you think of the factions living there. That is explosive. I mean, that's more explosive than, okay, give us the exact body count, I think, because that shows they were trying to cover up how many people died, why they died, because it's saying that the sects basically turned on one another in Baghdad and in other cities. Not that we didn't see that happening and not that there weren't stories about that, but is it worse than was originally reported? How damaging is it to the people that are currently serving? I mean, all question marks flying around until we actually see what it is that's published. But the Pentagon, I can tell you for sure, not happy. Had to put other people to vet it through, almost 100 people. So you know they're concerned about what are the specifics that are going to be out there, because they're not looking for it. They weren't looking for it, not thinking that any of their material was going to be released. And a whole ton of it was released. That's the bottom line. Let's talk about this ex-agent who's saying the CIA has so many flaws, or flaws at least that could be exposed and could lead to another attack. Because what an ex-agent is saying is, and he told this to a couple of different shows, including he was on a thing called Newsmax TV, and I happened to see a little clip of it. He's saying that the CIA hasn't eliminated the flaws that limited what was really, let's face it, their effectiveness prior to the 9/11 attacks. And the former CIA agent is Ishmael Jones, and basically that's a pseudonym for the author on this prominent book, really, about the CIA. And he talks about the fact that we'll most certainly face another terrorist attack at some point. It's just a matter of time, because there are too many flaws, and the overconfidence is the scary part. And specifically what he said on the overconfidence, nuclear weapons and 1930s technology are easier and easier to get hands around. And that's the biggest threat, that if you don't do a good job on intelligence and you have terrorist attacks coming in the future, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to have the exposure there. And then saying that Leon Panetta is a politician and he's more about politics, and that he's not a leader, so there hasn't been big change in the CIA. You know, Panetta, to me, wasn't a great choice for that spot either, for the exactly reason he's saying, that that's what Panetta's about. He's about the connection to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and whoever else, but he's not about the intelligence gathering part of the CIA that is so vital, so vital. You know, how many officers do we have on the streets in foreign countries, and how effective are they? Are they in the United States? Are they out there speaking Farsi, other Arabic countries speaking Arabic or whatever? Yeah, you need the foreign language speakers, there is no doubt. And are they being used to their fullest potential? And that's where he's saying absolutely not. That's not happening. As always, thanks for keeping it here on America Tonight.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Another Sunday night football game is in the books. You know, we do that nail the score thing. So we're going to talk about nail the score and if anybody won coming up a little bit later on here in the show. Let's say somebody might have come close. Did you think the Vikings were going to knock off the Green Bay Packers? If you did, ha-ha, you were wrong. One of my favorite people to talk to about football is my pal Ed Berliner, and he just has such an interesting way of looking at sports. And Ed wrote, in fact, something about Michael Vick. You know, I'm a longtime Eagles fan. You might have caught it. It was on Huffington Post. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, the world is still spinning on the Brett Favre access. So, Ed, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight again.
It's always a pleasure to come on and find new and exciting ways for me to get in an argument.
I love that. All right, so let's talk about the Brett Favre thing. The pictures now, it's he copped to the voicemails to this woman that used to work for the Jets, and he said that he did that, but the pictures weren't his. Now we've lived this for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I guess. It's actually been 2 weeks. And I'm wondering how much, first, before we get into that, how much do you think this has affected Brett Favre?
I don't think it's affected him as much as his age has. I mean, Brett's done. He's getting older. He's done what a lot of athletes have done. He's come back a little bit too far. He's tried to stretch his body too far. and he's just too beat up. I honestly, knowing Favre and knowing players in the NFL, I don't believe this has really had any kind of a problem. I mean, look, the guy was looking to cheat 2 years ago. It's not like it's something that all of a sudden has been coming out of the woodwork here. He knows it. And let's go one step further. He's stupid, just like a lot of players are and a lot of athletes and a lot of people. He leaves his voice on a voicemail.
Yeah.
What, like all of a sudden you believe it's not going to get heard or found? I mean, he's just stupid. I've seen the whole thing, and the website that started this is a gutter-dwelling, bottom-feeding website that does nothing more, and I'm not even going to dignify their name, but does nothing more than throw out rumors and innuendo, and they look for as much lewd photography and inside dirt as they can possibly get. That's what they make their name on. I've seen the whole thing. I didn't believe the pictures to begin with. I thought they were crass. I knew it was Favre. You could tell it was his voice when you heard this the first time.
Sure.
There was no doubt about that. But here's the thing that I can't quite get off as far as the topic is concerned. Jen Sterger claims she wants to have some kind of resolution in this. All of a sudden, she's got a manager here. This is a woman who made her big splash by being photographed at Florida State University football games with a cut jersey showing her girls, her assets, as much as she could. That's how she became a national figure, if you will,
right.
Simply because of that. And this was 2 years ago. If she was truly that upset by it, you go to the Jets, you go to the NFL, you don't hold on to this for 2 years and then conveniently find a way to have it leaked when your 15 minutes of fame are up. I mean, there's no doubt Brett Favre is a cheater. He's scum for that. He went ahead and tried to cheat on his wife like 6 billion other athletes. No doubt. I'm not taking away from that.
Right.
But she's just, as far as I'm concerned, her 15 minutes were up a long time ago. She's working on somebody else's 15 right now, and she's nothing more than just someone looking for the media attention.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. There's no doubt about it. And then somebody calling her a credible sports analyst, I heard that somewhere. I thought, you got to be kidding
please.
Me. No offense. But for any woman who goes into the field that's sincere about it, that does their research and their homework and is in the trenches every day, what a slap in the face that is. And
she and Inez Sainz, the reporter who was recently in the news, have done more to set back women in sports broadcasting than anybody in the last few years. Sterger's not a reporter. She's a sideline bimbo is all she was, and she was put there on the Jets broadcast team, not even on the broadcast team, on their cable team, simply because of her looks. And Inez Sainz is a good reporter, but if you're so worried about being taken seriously, why then do you get on Twitter and put it out there that I'm not feeling very comfortable right now? Come on, please. I know a lot of great, great female sports reporters and news reporters. You don't do that. That's not something you do. You do your job, and you do it well. She's just another person looking for attention.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about Favre, that really mainly it's done. He's done. That's what the deal is here. So you think the Vikings just ride this train with him until the end of the season, and then that's it?
Oh, I don't think they can. I don't think he's got much left right now. The injuries are starting to hurt him. His elbow is obviously hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't ride him. They really don't. The Vikings made a mistake because they thought that Favre had a couple of more years in him. Well, he really didn't. And it's a mistake that you can understand because he actually was good last year. I mean, you saw what he did. It wasn't like he was.
Yep.
It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Brett Favre has, you know, he was bad last year and they're taking a chance. No, the injuries have caught up with him and they got nowhere to go right now. I mean, the Vikings are done. It's and not only that, but you know they've got Adrian Peterson. It's a shame, but I just don't see how they're going to get the ball to Harvin or Peterson or Moss or anybody else if they don't have a good quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. Now, a team on the other end of the spectrum and jumping over, of course, to the AFC, looking at the Steelers. Boy, it looks like they're going to. I think they're going to click on all cylinders, especially now that Ben Roethlisberger is back. Once he really starts to tick it in. I think they go to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Well, I think they can. I think Roethlisberger is going to get better. But this is the most talked about game of the day here. And I'm going to be honest, this is before you called. I'm sitting here with about 300 of my closest friends on Facebook who are just assailing a comment that I made where I basically said, enough with the fumble call, all right? The Dolphins had two chances to score within the 22-yard line of the Steelers in the first minute 58 of the game, and they came away with field goals. They had a chance to get their team, to get their field goal kicker in range late in the game, and came up short. Their offense is awful in the red zone. Their two-minute offense is terrible. Their third-down defense is terrible. They didn't lose that game on the last play. They lost it because they couldn't execute early in the game. Now, having said that, Roethlisberger did fumble. There's no two ways about it. The video is conclusive.
Yep.
But, again, it's the way the rule is written when it comes down to possession. I don't like it. It's another one of these grand loopholes. But, unfortunately, the officials didn't see it. They had nowhere else to go. They fell back on the rule. I think that Roethlisberger back makes the Steelers, I'm afraid to say, the best team in the NFL right now, simply because the Jets are so erratic. And we really don't know what we're getting with the Jets from one game to another. And I still think that the Patriots at 5-1, nobody talks about the Patriots right now.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
They look past them because they feel that this is a team that's just not that good without Randy Moss. Come on, they're 5-1.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people overlook them. But let me say this, the worst team in the NFL today is the Denver Broncos.
Oh, terrible.
I got to tell you, I wasn't watching that game, but when I looked up and I saw the score, I said, excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
59-14. Yeah.
I mean, they may as well go ahead and, you know, I understand that Tim Tebow is going to apply for another year of eligibility at Florida.
But I'm pumped. That was the best line. We're, like, running out of time. I'm not even to get to Vic. I got to ask you this, though. This is more important than the Vic stuff. The crackdown on the violent hits in the NFL. You've covered the NFL. I've covered the NFL. What do you think?
I think it's proper. The NFL has become, look, to me, the art of the NFL is the tackling, the finesse, the wonder of the game. It's a contact sport. The players are getting stronger and faster. The equipment is getting better, and it's also allowing them to become more aggressive. And there is the opportunity more than ever before to injure somebody and to kill somebody. Now, having said all that, I will also back this up by saying I have been in more locker rooms and in more fields and watched more practices where I have heard coaches tell players to kill the other guy, to break legs. I've heard players talk about it. It is a very physical, violent game, and you have to play that to a certain point. To go out and headhunt, as Harrison did, was just unconscionable because I don't know about you, and certainly a lot of the audience probably doesn't remember this, but I remember the hit Daryl Stingley took from Jack Taylor 500 years ago, which put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, and Tatum used his head. Somebody's going to get killed one day because the equipment, and specifically the helmets, cannot take the kind of punishment that is given out every day. I think it's proper, and I think it'll make the game better in the long run. So to everybody out there who says that Roger Goodell is putting skirts on everybody, come on, stop, enjoy the games. They're still good.
I agree with you, absolutely. What a way to end. Ed, if everyone wants to catch your stuff, where can they catch it? The Huffington Post, I see you've got a lot of things there. And where else?
Huffington Post, I write for occasionally. Most of my and all of my current stuff can be seen on the National Examiner. Just go to examiner.com and search out my name there, Ed Berliner, and you'll find a lot of my stuff. And one of these days, you and I do have to get back together again and talk about Michael Vick, because I don't have a problem with him getting a job, but
right.
I will never forgive him for being a bloodthirsty killer.
All right, I agree with that. I'm a dog lover, so I understand where you're going with that. Ed, thanks so much. You were terrific. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Anytime, Kate. Be well.